This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Back on a Friday afternoon, Spencer on Sports here on 1600 ESPN, about 25 minutes away from drive time here on a short edition of the program. Drive time driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com every weekday after 5 o'clock here on 1600 ESPN. Very pleased to be joined by Director of Athletics at the University of Iowa, Beth Goetz, for the next few minutes here on 1600 ESPN. Lots going on in the college sports world. Oh, yeah, the season's almost here for the college sports world, with football coming up at the end of August. But, of course, soccer and volleyball and field hockey coming up. So we're pleased that Beth has some time to join us as we get ready for a new season, but also navigate this new world that we're in college athletics here. Beth, always appreciate the time. Thanks for making some time here on a Friday. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Spencer. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with this. There's a lot going on, a lot happening, and a lot has been happening over the last 4 years in college sports, but especially now that the House settlement has been approved. It's in place, went into effect on July 1st. You've been in athletics for a long time. You've been in a leadership position in athletics for a long time. What's your reaction just as a leader to this new era of college sports that's been underway for a while, obviously with the portal and name, image, and likeness, but now with revenue sharing being a part of college athletics? What's just your reaction to this moment that we're in?
Yeah, I think you said it right. I mean, it is, there's no doubt, although there's been many changes over time, this is one of the most significant in college sport history, and certainly during my lifetime. But it's a welcome first step, I think, into a new era. It's taken us a long time and too long to get there. And while I don't think this is the end, I think there's going to need to be lots of iterations. It's not going to be perfect. I think it's a good first step into finding another opportunity to modernize and make college athletics sustainable at this level.
What were the last few months like leading the department at the University of Iowa while this settlement was being negotiated, as it was going through the courts? Did you have to have like multiple plans in place in case something changed or something fell through, or were you confident in kind of the major framework of the deal staying intact as this was negotiated in the courts? How was the last few months like from your perspective as the athletic director as all this was getting sorted out?
Yeah, you know, we did have a lot of iterations. I think just because over time you sort of, you know, you tweak those as you sit with them and think about them. And it's, you know, it's really, I mean, we're going on maybe 18 months, 12 months of really trying to put, you know, a framework together that was clear enough to give you direction, but nimble enough to make changes as needed based on how the settlement ultimately would be decided and played out. So, you know, in an odd way, I think we really enjoyed some of that. I mean, it's, you know, it's an opportunity to get to craft and be a part of significant change. And while unknown is always scary and there's some anxiety associated with how you're going to navigate all that, I think we looked at it, you know, as a really fun sort of puzzle to put together. And that's really a tribute to our team and our coaches, who really everyone leaned into it. It wasn't, nobody was trying to, you know, swim upstream and say, hey, this is what we want to do. It was, okay, change is coming. Let's embrace it and figure out how to do it in a way that makes sense for the Hawks.
That's so true, right? It takes a village to get anything done, really. But especially in college athletics, you have so many different teams and departments that need to have a say, and so it's important for everybody to have a seat at the table, right?
Absolutely. I think here, you know, we're really fortunate. We've just, you know, we've got some just longtime successful coaches, and as you would expect, they played, you know, they played the role you needed them to, which is, you know, sort of a calming presence, and you know, we're going to get to figure this out. And so it's, you know, again, it's not perfect. We know there's going to be a lot of changes. There's moments where you wish we were farther ahead. And while we have a structure, it's not very detailed yet from a national standpoint. So you're still working through all of that. But I think we're in a great place. We had great support, you know, from our campus leadership. You know, we've got a passionate fan base. We have great support from our collective and that partnership, and how we were going to work together as we came into this moment. So, yeah, we're excited about it. I'm excited for our athletes to be in this position, and I think it's going to be a journey now that we're at the starting line of this, but it's time and it'll be worth it.
As we start here, you mentioned we're at the starting line. What are the positives that you see with the framework that's in place right now? And what flaws do you think still need to be ironed out? I mean, we could probably go for another 25, 30 minutes on both topics, but give me one or two that you see from a positive side, but also something that you're like, hey, this might need to be ironed out and ironed out pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's no doubt we could talk about this for a while. But, you know, on the positive side, you know, I think you have to have some structure, right? So, I mean, we're really going from a place where all of a sudden we had, you know, virtually no rules in this space, which is, you know, is really a challenge to navigate for many reasons. So some sort of framework, whether you like it all or not, I think is you need regulation. Every industry has that. I think, you know, having a predictable cap system is important in my mind. And again, you have that in most in any level of sport in which there's compensation. And I think it's, you know, certainly a critical piece, you know, for those of us that maybe are not in as resource locations as others, to make it a little bit more predictable along the way. And not to, by any stretch, you know, limit the opportunities that student-athletes will have above and beyond that, but I think it just gives you some sort of clarity about what your competitors have the ability to do. So I think those things are really, you know, really, really good. On the need to, it still needs to be worked through. You know, I think it's really important we find a way to continue to embed the student-athlete voice in the decisions we make going forward. You know, while we have a framework, we don't have a lot of specific rules yet. You know, I think there was, I'm sure you sort of read some of the note that came out yesterday from the new commissioner of the CSC, or president of the CSC. And, you know, we just, we're behind, but with the lawsuit coming out, you have this framework set up, but not the details of it. And so you're waiting for some of those things to get put in place so you can understand specifically what are the rules, how are they going to be enforced, how do you work around that, what are the penalties that would exist, and that, you know, and making sure that accountability is really going to be there in this new system.
A few more minutes left here with Beth Goetz, the Director of Athletics at the University of Iowa, here on 1600 ESPN. How well positioned do you think the University of Iowa is as this rev share era begins, Beth?
I feel really good about where we are. I think, again, that, you know, we're just grateful in terms of the way we've been able to partner on campus and with our fans to position ourselves financially. And not to say it's not a heavy lift for all of us. There's no doubt you have a $20 million expense item reoccurring to your bottom line in 1 year. You're going to have to make, you know, make some choices about how to use your resources wisely and find ways to generate more revenue. But I'm really confident that we're going to be able to be who we are here at Iowa, continue to compete, you know, and certainly in the Big Ten Conference and nationally, and stay up to date with our peers. And so there's challenge. I don't want to make it sound like it's, you know, there aren't some hurdles we have to jump, but I think we've got a really good plan in place and feel good about that, in particular with, you know, the leadership that we have in our coaches.
About a month ago, Beth, the university, I know, announced these flight funds where donors can invest in revenue sharing. Can you explain a little bit more for our listeners just what those are and how that benefits this new era for Iowa athletics?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And now that we can do this, you know, internally and share directly from our own resources, essentially, these were just ways for us to capture some of the philanthropic support that previously existed. And, you know, our collective did a great job. And really, Brad gave us that platform to transition some of that philanthropy, you know, over to the flight funds. And so now we'll steward those gifts for sports in which they're going to get revenue sharing in the same way we would gifts that go to support scholarship and facilities and other things. And it's a way for them to continue to support student athletes and this revenue share directly. It also is, you know, it's going to be tax deductible, accounts charge priority points, all of those things. And so it's been really well received, I think, from our donors. And some people are going to be passionate about supporting these flight funds, and some people are going to be passionate about endowing a scholarship. But we're just really grateful that they want to lean in whatever way makes most sense for them to help the Hawks continue to serve our student athletes well.
There's been a lot of discussion on the national scene. I'm sure you've seen it, about the role of collectives now with the House settlement in place. Can you share anything about what the future of the Swarm Collective looks like, or is that still being decided behind the scenes?
Yeah, you know, actually, I just was talking with Brad a couple hours ago and just couldn't appreciate more of the collaboration. And, you know, I think from our perspective, you know, again, they've been such a critical partner for us. And certainly what he's done is I don't have the words to tell you how appreciative we are and our coaches are for that. And we're just sort of working together to try to figure out what's going to be permissible. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. And I think at the end of the day, anything that, you know, is additive from a resource standpoint that can help our athletes and permissible is something that, you know, we would continue to want to work through. And so we're waiting on a few of those rules to come out. But whatever the next steps are, you know, both Brad and I are committed to working together on that and to honoring those that have continued to support the Swarm, support the Hawks. And you know, we'll, when we have enough information to talk about what that might look like, we'll roll that out.
Quick question, a listener texting in on our text line, Beth, 7953, asking, there's so much talk about money and name, image, and likeness. The question, how do you keep academics and graduating, make sure those don't get lost in the shuffle through all this? They're still student athletes. They're still there to get a degree, right? But money is a big part of it now with NIL and now revenue sharing. How do you get that balance figured out at Iowa?
Yeah, and you know, we love that question because it's material to what we do, and our mission at Iowa or anywhere hasn't changed. And certainly they have a little more resource in their pocket. But it doesn't change their obligations on campus. And so, you know, even though it's happening through us, and you know, over the last couple of years as NIL has begun, we just haven't seen an impact in that way. It's actually become part of the educational experience. They learn a lot more about financial literacy and marketing and those types of things. But our, you know, we've got over a 3.2 GPA in the department, 89% graduation rate. And so, you know, we expect those things will continue to change. And one of the benefits I think we all have that fans don't get to see, every single day is as you watch, you know, a basketball practice this week, or, you know, I run into our soccer players and gymnastics student athletes that are here training over the summer. Those kids are all doing exactly the same thing they've always done. They just have an opportunity now to, you know, to learn in a different way. And hopefully if they do have, you know, some extra dollars in their pocket, they're learning how to invest those and save those in a way that makes sense. And so it's always going to be first priority, here for them to come earn a degree at Iowa and something that they're, passionate about, so we can prepare them for the next 40 years of their life.
All right. Hey, Beth, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with me today, and we'll hope to catch up with you again later. Okay.
Appreciate you having me. Go home.